Meeting by Dr. Jim. We're so excited in doing these things. A lot of my students have really enjoyed it. I am intentionally not going into all the meanings of the names or into extreme detail on these because it would take away from the dynamics of the story. I may give you some of that, but we'll go on here now. I want you to know one thing. That God predestined and foreordained that David would be king of Israel. They asked for a king before God was ready to give them one, and he gave them Saul. And David is showing here a great character. He had great character. He had great motives. He was human like all of us. But his character was wonderful, especially as a young man. Now, Saul is chasing David, trying to kill him because he's jealous of him. He feels like he's threatening him, and yet David is protecting him in every way. David is going in harm's way for Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him all the time. Now, Saul has a son, Jonathan, and Jonathan, after Saul would have died, would have been the king of Israel. But Jonathan took off his armor, his helmet, his belt, and everything, and gave it to David, saying that you are the real rightful king. And he did everything he could to protect David from his father. And his father got so mad at Joseph, or not Joseph, but mad at him that he absolutely was going to kill him also. Then David, in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. Now here are the priests where the Ark of the Covenant is and the tabernacle is. And Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has commissioned me with a matter and has said to me, let no one know anything about the matter on which I am sending you and with which I have commanded you, and I have directed the young men to a certain place. Now therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread and whatever can be found. Now, Jesus refers to this story in the New Testament. And here it is now. We're about to read it. And the priest answered David and said, that there is no ordinary bread on hand, but only the consecrated bread. And this is the table of showbread, where the showbread was. And only the priests were supposed to eat of this, and only if they had consecrated and made themselves holy. There is only consecrated bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest and said, surely women have been kept from us, as previously when I set out, and the vessels of young men are holy, though it was ordinary journey, how much more than today with these their vessels holy? And the priest gave him consecrated bread, the showbread. For there was no other bread there but the bread of the priest's presence, which was removed from before the Lord, in order that to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. Now one of the servants of Saul was there that day and detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, and the chief of Saul's shepherds. Now David said to Ahimelech, now is there not a spear or sword on hand? For I have brought neither sword nor any weapons with me, because the king's matter was urgent. Then the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. That's the one David cut Goliath's head off with, whom you killed in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourselves, take it, for there is no other except it here. And David said, there is none other like it. Please give it to me. Then David arose and fled the day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. But the servant of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as he danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s? And David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, the king of Gath. So he disguised himself or his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands. He acted like a madman, the words of a madman now. He acts like he's insane. And scribbled on the doors and the gate and let his saliva run down his beard. And Achish said to his servants, behold, you see this man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring this madman to me? Do I lack madmen that you should have brought this one to act a madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? Chapter number 22 now. So David departed from there and escaped into the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there with him. And everyone was in distress, and everyone was in debt, and everyone was discontented, and gathered to him, and he became captor over all of them. Now there were about 400 men with him. And David went there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me. Then he left them there with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. And the prophet of God said to David, this is the prophet of God now, says to David, do not stay in the stronghold, depart, go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. And Saul heard that David and his men were with him and had been discovered. Now Saul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamargrass tree on the height with his spear in his hand. And all his servants were standing around him. Saul's all the time got a spear in his hand he's going to spear somebody with. And Saul said to his servants who stood around him, hear now, O Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? For all of you have conspired against me, so that there is not a one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you who is sorry for me and discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me and lie in ambush as it is to this day. Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing by the servants of Saul, answered and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Abimelech, the son of Ahithub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech the priest and the son of Abiathar and all of his father's household and the priests who were in Nob, and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, listen now, son of Ahithub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. Saul then said to him, why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me? This is paranoia in its epitome. Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me, in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him, and that he should rise up against me by lying in ambush as it is this day. Then Abimelech answered the king and said, And who among all the servants is as faithful as David, even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over all your guard and is honored in your house? Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of the whole matter and of this affair. But the king said, You shall surely die. Now here is Saul in a rage of jealousy. And he's going to kill all the priests. He's going to kill all the family of priests. He's going to kill them all. This is what insanity. This is the real words of a madman. David acted like a madman, but this is the words of a madman now. He's insane with jealousy. And insane with hate, and insane with paranoia. You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, Turn around and put the priest of the Lord to death, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. Now his servants have better sense than he does. But the servants of the king were not willing to put forth their hands against the priest of the Lord. The priest of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, You turn around and attack the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priest. And he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. 85 priests were killed that day. And he struck Nob, the city of the priest, with the edge of the sword, both men, women, and children, infants, and also oxen, donkeys, and sheep, and he struck them with the edge of the sword. He wipes out everything. This was their, what we might call, temporary possessions where the priest lived. But the son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David and Saul he had killed the priest of the Lord. How far can you go? How far can a man go to fight against God? All of this is predetermined, foreordained, and predestined. David was to be the first king of Israel. When God called Saul, he was a humble man, and now he's become a madman, and his words are the words of a madman. That day David said to Abiathar, I knew all on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, and I have brought about the death of every person in your father's household. He said, I am responsible for all of their death. David took this responsibility because he asked of help. And in a way, he deceived the priest. Because he told him he was on a secret mission. A 007 mission, so to speak. He said, Stay with me and do not be afraid. For he who seeks my life, seeks your life, for you are safe with me. You're safe with me. We're all safe with the Lord, aren't we? We're all safe with the Lord. God has us in His hands. In the Old Testament, so many times, it talks of God as a mother hen with her baby chickens. It talks of God as the eagle nurturing her children. In chapter number 23 now, Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and are plundering the threshing floors. So David inquired of the Lord. David is asking God about everything he's going to do now. Shall I go and strike these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. But David's men said to him, behold, we are afraid here to go to here in Judah, and how much more if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines? And David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord assured him and said, arise and go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines in your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah, and they fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock, struck them with a great slaughter, and David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with the ephod in his hand. When it was told David that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand. For he shut himself in, entering the city with double gates and bars. So Saul summoned all the people for a war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. And David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Every time something was destroyed, someone was killed, David felt like it he had personally caused the damage. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hands? Will Saul come down just as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, thy servant, and the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Then David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. And when it was told to Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. A madman. And David stayed in the wilderness, and the strongholds were made in the hill country, in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh, and he encouraged him in God. And thus he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul my father knows that. My father Saul knows that also. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh with Jonathan, went to his house. And the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in the stronghold of Horesh on the hill of Hittilah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down according to all your desire and your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand. And Saul said, may you be blessed of the Lord. Here he is, blessed of the Lord, when he's wanting to murder God's man. For you have compassion on me. Go now and make sure and investigate and see this place where this Han is, and who has seen him there, for I am told that he is very cunning. God was protecting David all the time. God is protecting. God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress will not be thwarted by Saul or anyone else. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me, and certainly I will go with you, and I shall come about it that it is in the land that I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah. And then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. And now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon. Wilderness of Maon in Arbah to the south of Jeshimon. And when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Moab. And then Saul heard of it, and he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. You know, when you're in a real bind, and you're in great danger, God is there with you all the time. But many times you're doing everything that you can do to save your life. And I've been in this kind of shape. I've been in this condition like this before. But God is there. We're doing everything we can do to stay alive. But I'm going to tell you something. Until God is finished with you, you are invincible. And David was invincible. But it sure doesn't feel like it at the time. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines, and therefore they called the place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and stayed in the stronghold of En-Gedi. David went up there and stayed in the stronghold of En-Gedi. What a beautiful story. Were you with him? Running? Was there sweat on your face and on running down your back as David ran for his life? And yet, whenever something came upon with the enemies of God, David was always in the gap. When David was fighting the Philistines, he was never afraid. But the man that he loved, his king, was always trying to kill him. And he feared him. And Jacob feared Esau. Jacob by far was a stronger man than Esau. But Esau was a wicked, 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 vengeful man. It's hard to fight those that you love. It's hard to fight those that you love. David was in battle and distress nearly all of his life. And yet he always loved God. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. I pray you go with it as it goes throughout the world. That you convict sinners of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And build up your children in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.